There's a, when Paul says that they gave themselves first to the Lord, giving ourselves first to the Lord has practical ministry implications. Like our offerings, like we don't bring money to the front and burn it. We give it and we use it practically to God's people and God's work.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Getting after it.
Yeah. Did you watch the game last night?
I did. It was very exciting. I was cheering for Cooper DeJean and the Eagles. Let's go, Hawks.
Yeah.
Scored. So did you know that yesterday it was his birthday and Saquon Barkley's birthday? So in his rookie year, on his birthday, playing in the Super Bowl, scores a pick six against the arguably best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
It's been a memorable day.
So, yeah, jumping in this text, obviously there's some big highlights, but I love the way that you summed it up just with the big idea of Christian giving is a voluntary, sacrificial, joyful overflow of God's grace despite circumstances, testifying to a changed heart.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a run-on sentence. But
It's great. Paul, I mean, punctuation is a construct of modern language. They didn't use punctuation in Greek. So
we're but good. All those words are meaningful.
Yeah, and that all comes directly from the text where we were yesterday in 2 Corinthians 8:1-7. So, Jake, jumping into it, first question on this podcast, always, if you had more time or wanted to include something else or expand on something, what would you have done differently yesterday?
Yeah, I think pastorally, to just talk more on application. Okay, now what? Yeah. How do we practice giving? Yep. So I think there's just a lot of this brings up shepherding conversations of just getting practical that we'd love to take, and hopefully we can do that in the future. Textually, there's a lot of background, even going into, you know, Old Testament giving, New Testament giving, trying to bring some explanation to that. There's I think I mentioned it in 11, but not in the other services, when Paul says that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. And just the connection between giving ourselves first to the Lord has practical ministry implications. Like our offerings, like we don't bring money to the front and burn it, you know, like as an offering to the Lord. We give it and we use it. So to give ourselves first to the Lord means we're giving practically to God's people and God's work, and spending some more time fleshing that out. But
no, that's sweet. One thing's there, a quick note for getting practical. So we've been talking about this for years, at least 5 years that I know of, and probably longer than that, but we've got a gospel-centered finance class that's coming up. It's not not to knock Financial Peace University or Dave Ramsey. It's not that, but we are going to get practical and have some helpful budgeting steps. I want some people to be able to connect in there and ask good questions. The last class is going to be a Q&A with some pastors and elders. And then also, too, just in that, want to be able to have a spot where people can say, like, here's my situation. Yeah. I need help.
That's great. So, and if you go back further in our message archives, there's one just entitled Money where we did get just a little more practical.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sweet.
I don't know how many years ago that was, though. You got to go. You got to dig.
I think it might have been like 2019.
Okay. Yeah. So like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Which I can link that in the show notes here to that message. So you can look for that. But yeah, if you're interested, that class starts on March 9th and then 6 weeks. So takes us through the middle of April. That'd be awesome. Anything else for expanding more conversation?
No, I think I went over anyways. More time. People are like, why do you keep asking him that? He's taking enough time.
Five. Well, I'm trying to – this is the encouragement. You can let it go. We can talk about it here.
That's true. I should remember that more.
But – we were about 5 minutes over each one. Just a song. That's okay. It's all good. Okay, second question here, Jake, for you. Why do you think we're quick to disconnect generosity from God's ultimate act of grace in sending Jesus to redeem his creation to himself?
Well, I think grace is about something God has done for us.
Yeah.
And we're rightfully so not wanting to make it a works-based thing. We don't do anything to earn grace. If that's the case, it's not grace. So to keep grace pure, there's a sense where you don't add anything to it. But the negative side of that is if nothing comes of grace as a response or a reaction or an impact, then we're missing grace the power of it to change our lives. Because Christ died so that we would live differently, not just so that we would go into heaven, that we would have changed hearts, that we'd be a new creation, new priorities, new passions. So that's the unfortunate disconnect. But I understand, like, we're not trying to add works to what God has done.
Right.
Don't do that. But we should be transformed by the grace and what God has done.
Right.
And an evidence of that transformation is our viewpoint on money and how we handle it.
Right. I mean, you've talked about this before in the past quite a few times, but grace is anti-earning, but it's not anti-effort. Mm-hmm. So we, because we've received grace, then can put effort into being good stewards of that and how we respond and react, and that has implications for what we do financially, what we, the decisions we make. I mean, there's a clear direct connection to that.
Yeah.
That's good. So I think that kind of leads into the next or third question here. So just talking about, you brought up, you know, talking about they gave according to their means and beyond their means. So what might it, what would it look like for us to take some steps towards giving according to our means as well as beyond our means?
Yeah. I think step one in giving according to our means is intentional, planned giving. That's not just a reaction of dig in my purse or my wallet, here's a 20, I can give it.
Which I would argue might even be the step one then is to know your situation.
Yeah. So I would say you got to know what's coming in and what's going out.
Right.
I would encourage anybody to form a budget. How much do we spend on groceries?
Right.
What is our mortgage? How much do we save? Figure all those things out. Know how you're handling money. And then build generosity into your budget. What are we going to give? Make that preemptive decision. It's according to your means. It's within your budget. It's a part of your lifestyle. So that's step one in, like, how do we give according to our means? And then how do we give beyond our means? That's, again, like we said, it's not Robin Hood. We're not stealing from people to give more. But it's above and beyond giving that is going to come up that we don't plan for. Like, we just know it. There's going to be a need within the church, within your Christian community. There's going to be people you want to help. There's going to be missionaries, whatever comes up, that we need to have a disposition that's ready to sacrifice. So a lot of times people think, like, well, this is my chunk of giving, I'll just reallocate it.
Right.
But that's not what's going on in this text. What's going on in this text is I'm willing to make above and beyond sacrifices.
Right.
So if we have a disposition prepared to sacrifice and another need comes up to give above and beyond, or beyond our means here means, like, okay, I'm ready to cancel Netflix for the next 6 months so that I can be generous.
Or my fun money that I've been saving up
money.
That I've got the $600 for whatever things. Like, no, I'm going to delay that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that here.
So I would say according to your means, make a budget, pre-plan your generosity. Beyond your means, have a disposition that's ready to sacrifice for the sake of generosity.
Right. And even within that, living according to your means and the regular giving, some of that conversation might be you're living beyond your means because
that would you had no
when
margin.
When you add it up, you've got – I mean, it's the Dave Ramsey saying, like, when you get to the end of the month, you've run out of money at the end of the month, or you've run out of month at the end of the money. Like, just that I think intentionality there of you're trying to do too much.
So, like, I would – and this was part of the message that we referred to back in 2019.
Yep.
But in forming a budget, because we talked about what defined free will giving in the Old Testament. It's your best and your first. So I would say before you make other budgeting decisions, make a generosity decision.
Yep.
This is what we're going to give. Okay, now, then I would say make a savings decision. This is what we're going to save. Now make your living decisions. That's going to tell you what kind of house you can afford, what kind of car you can drive, you know, those other lifestyle decisions.
Yeah.
But people often get that backwards. We make all our living decisions,
that's
then we make our
left.
Savings decisions, and I wish I had more to be generous.
Right.
And it's a complete flip, which is opposite of our directive in the Old Testament that our free will offerings are our first and our best.
Right. I think in that same message, you made something it was either that one or a previous conversation on money, but you made a point where when it gets to the end of the month, do you assume everything that's left over is for you?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, oh, I like I don't know. I'm quick to like, oh, well, we're saving for this. And it's like, no, that's an additional, like, that's another opportunity to be generous. Like, yeah. Find a way to be proactively generous with even that. Mm-hmm. Like, so when it comes to living according to your means and giving according to your means might need to change.
Yeah. That's from Jesus' parable on the rich fool, where a man, has a very prosperous year in farming and decides to build bigger barns to hold his crop and then dies. And the assumption he made was his prosperity is for him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to enlarge my estate and art. So, Jesus's point is you're a fool because you're thinking all of your wealth is meant for you.
Yeah.
He wasn't rich towards God. That was the critique.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. All right. Want to give time for this. We did have a listener question came in yesterday.
All right.
Shout out for that. Appreciate it. Again, with those, we've got a link in the digital program that you can click on and submit a question, or it comes through in the connection group email. You can submit a question there. So we love getting these. So here's what one of our church members writes in, says, ask the question, what are some practical ways we can suggest couples approach the conversation of how to give if both do not immediately come to an agreement? Assuming that both agree that giving is an act of grace, is a high priority, and should be done cheerfully regardless of circumstances or abundance.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm assuming both are believers in this. When you're married, two become one flesh, and there's a sense where we're individual Christians, but we've become one in marriage. So certain acts of worship are done together. Giving is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Church engagement, you know, you want to be yoked. When few passages back, don't be unequally yoked.
Yep.
Well, in marriage, you're yoked. So you want to travel the same direction. You want to have the same passions, priorities, and that reflects in spending too. So you got to do the hard work of sitting down and talking. Hopefully, you're not in a situation where it's like, well, that's your money, this is my money.
That's what I was going to say, because this might be coming from a place of you got bigger problems when it just comes to making a decision on giving. You're living independently.
Yeah.
That's not helpful.
Yeah. So have conversations, budget conversations, and work towards alignment in a preemptive decision on giving. I think that it's hard when generosity is always reactions, because people are kind of at different places. Like, I want to give to this. I want to give to that. And you're kind of looking at what you have. But if you set a budget for the year, every July, Marcy and I sit down together, we make a budget, and we say, you know, okay, what's our generosity going to be?
Yep.
Have that conversation as a couple. And it's a bit, you might be at different places.
Yeah.
And this is super helpful. Write it down, right? It's like, okay, where are you at? Okay, this is where I'm at. All right, let's make our case.
Right.
How do we find agreement? You might not be as far off as you think. Or if you are, that's gonna bring good conversations.
Yeah.
And go to the scripture. One of the things, like, even though I'd say, I don't think the command to tithe from the Old Testament, like, I don't, in our text, we're not seeing it 10%. Now, like we pointed out, where if you think the New Testament is all about giving you permission to be less generous, we're missing the heart of the New Testament.
Right.
But for an example, in a conversation like this, that's a great starting place. Like, okay, what would it look like if we gave 10%? Like, this is what God laid out, even though we're not under it as of law, it's still a helpful guide. So to give, I'd say 10% is a good place to start.
And then the other thing, I think even within that conversation, as you assess your situation, and then it might be like, yeah, we want to do that, but practically here's where we're at. That might then be, in order to do this and to be able to, like, prioritize giving, there's some other thing that we need to cut, that we need to sacrifice. That mm-hmm. like, and then because I think it's, we want to separate out the conversation, be like, well, we want to just make a decision over here. It's like, no, it's all connected. First of all of your money is God's money anyways. So are you being a good steward of mm-hmm. it? And as you begin to drill down in your budget, you can ask that question like, no, we're not stewarding it well. We've got the wrong priorities. All right, let's hit reset.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there's a helpful place too for goals mm-hmm. when it comes to generosity. We got goals when it's like, I want to go back to Hawaii. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Like we got our 10-year anniversary coming up. Yeah. That'd be awesome. That might happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. see, maybe. But just, I think in some of that where it's like, we're quick to set goals on experiences we want to have, things we want to buy, but how intentional are we with our giving?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we setting goals when it comes to increasing generosity? Mm-hmm. Or is it just like, no, we've got a percentage and every time we get more, it's great.
And I think sometimes people live in this guilt of, well, I either, you know, get to go to Hawaii or I got to give money. And we put these things against each other. And I would say if you're making your giving decisions first and a heart to honor the Lord, then be free
right.
and living on the rest of whatever that looks
right.
like. It's when you're making your living decisions and then you're trying to make your giving decisions, you create all this
right.
tension.
Right.
So
one of the things, I think you've said this, it might've been in that 2019 message. But even when it comes to like, if you get a bonus, like make it a habit.
Yeah.
There's whatever, set a percentage. Doesn't have to be 10, could be 20, could be 30. Like anytime we get a bonus,
yeah.
that's an immediate additional, like that's coming right off the top. Because that's not separate special money like
right.
that we're like, oh, well, this is all for me because it's my bonus. No, it's
yeah.
that's the Lord's too.
Make generosity thing. A habit
right.
in all things.
Yeah. So bonuses, pay increases, like those are good times to be like, hey, let's reassess this.
Right. And if people hear that and think like, boy, you're kind of getting really law-based and like – you're just like, no, we want to be people that have a disposition that we always think of the Lord first
right. yeah.
in all things.
Yeah. 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 That's sweet. I love that. That's a great question. I think we're set up for a couple more weeks of some good.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll
go
see
through chapters 8 and 9.
See again. A dip in attendance. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, we got the next 6 weeks. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Yay. See you in a couple months. No, just kidding. So looking forward to that. But seriously, church, if you do want to get more practical, we've been working on laying out this 6 week class, and there is a lot of the homework is actually some steps to do some practical budgeting, and we've got people that we want to help connect others with, and just want to do it in the context of relationship, not to be heavy handed, but really to be like, hey, we know that this is a reality, and we know that there's people in all sorts of different situations, and we can all continue to grow in how we live out generosity in our daily life and be good stewards of everything that God has given us. So check that out. Register for the class online. Love to see how God would continue to work through us being stewards of everything that he's given us. So,
amen.
Yeah. If you got questions, we'd love to answer more questions like this. Get practical. Submit those through the digital program, connection group, questions, email. Yeah, church, let's continue to be reminded of the ultimate act of grace that God has sent his son to redeem us to him, and that in light of that, we can be stewards and we can be intentionally generous with everything that God has given us and is doing for us. So join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.